going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices and give you a 5-year price guarantee on talk, text, and data. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Good morning. Welcome in. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, the midday show with Andy and Randy with you here on a hump day. Thanks for being with us. We appreciate it. One day away from the first round of the NFL draft. Terry Fontenot's met with the media, so tons to talk about over the next 3 hours. Good morning to you, Randy. How are you?
What's happening, man? Thank God. Oh, can we help get this over with?
We're getting there.
Can we get to Sunday? I mean, goodness gracious. I mean, but no, it is a fun time of year. Obviously, you know, we talk, you know, I keep forgetting this in Green Bay until I see everybody doing their hits from Lambeau Field and everything. So I'm really anxious to see that.
You know, they've had a draft in Wisconsin before?
No.
In 1940.
Really?
Yeah. The 1940 NFL draft was also in the state of Wisconsin. It's a great question.
Who's number one pick in the 1940?
Rock Nutney or something.
But, yeah, it's going to be a lot of fun. Interested to see where all these teams, where all these young men are going as far as, you know, because and we'll have Emory Hunter. I'm anxious to get his opinion on it. It's, you know, it's three blue-chip athletes in this draft, and the rest is a whole bunch of good players.
Yeah.
And so they're talking about rounds two, three, four being stacked with guys who were potential. A lot of them have day one starter written all over them, everything. So, yeah, that's going to be always fun. We know the quarterback situation. They always get pushed up. As we mentioned on Monday, this class probably won't push up quarterbacks.
Yeah, it doesn't seem like it
will. I mean, sorry, push other players back because the quarterbacks are being pushed up. So
feels like more as you get closer to it, and who knows? I mean, it's all about misleading people now. The closer you get into it, it seems like you could get all the way into the 20s before the second quarterback is taken.
Yeah.
With Pittsburgh maybe being able to stay at 21 and get Shedeur Sanders if that's who they covet.
Right.
And then the Giants or maybe somebody else coming back into the first round in the late 20s or 30s or whatever to get Jackson Dart or whoever it is they might want.
Right.
But, yeah, no, it's a totally different year. I mean, and that's one of the things Terry Fontenot talked about this morning was last year you had six quarterbacks taken in the top 12, right? I mean, that changes everything if you're behind them and you don't need a quarterback. Mm-hmm. Like, that's great. There wasn't the first defensive player taken last year until 15.
Yep.
If that happened this year,
because you could
you'd get whatever defensive player you wanted, and you'd be the Falcons.
Yeah.
You could have Abdul Carter right there, but obviously that's not going to happen. But, yeah, no, it's, you know, every year is different, which is why the Falcons did what they did last year. And, you know, as crazy of a road as it's been to get here, thankfully they did that, you know? Like, it would be a real bad situation right now if we're dealing with this Kirk Cousins stuff without Michael Penix, you know?
Yep.
We'd be talking about Jackson Dart.
No.
Or Shedeur Sanders. Or whatever.
Yeah,
that's exactly what we'd be talking about.
Man.
That'd be kind of fun. Anyway, whatever.
Yeah.
It's a good thing they got that out of the way and they can deal with their other issues.
Yeah, this is the first time, I don't know when, since when, that all 32 teams have their original first-round slots.
We haven't gotten this close to the draft since 1993 that someone hasn't made a move.
Wow.
Whether it's for a player for draft picks or draft teams swapping picks or whatever. I think that was the Joe Montana trade like a couple days before the draft in 93. In this era, because like free agency as we know it didn't really start and like the salary cap and everything, just the way the structure of the league works the way that it is now is mid-90s.
Right.
So in this era of the NFL, hadn't been this long before somebody did something, which tells you what? everybody's waiting until tonight, tomorrow to do it, or no one's going to do anything at all.
Well, I think it's one of those, it's probably when you view it from a draft strategy is like we can just sit here and get a good player. Now, we're not going to get one of those top guys, but we'll still, and I'm pretty sure when you look at draft boards, this draft, a lot of guys aren't outside of the three guys probably people look at as far as, you know, Travis, Abdul, and Ashton. They're everybody's kind of, you know, you won't feel bad about the player you picked there unless you have some, like, if the Falcons take Ty Warren or something like that, or you know, or something like that.
Right.
Or, you know what I mean? Or
that's got to be one of those things, too, like, because we've talked a little bit about, just to give some credence to that for a second, right? If they were to take an offensive tackle, then you got to trade Caleb McGarry and get assets.
That's just my thought process.
If you took Tyler Warren, you'd have to trade Kyle Pitts to get assets, right? Yeah. I mean, that's what, kind of the same idea.
He's absolutely correct. So, I mean, that might not be anything that Terry is thinking about. It might not be his thought process. Yeah. That's just something I threw out there.
Right.
Because I look at it from a standpoint of security of your job. You don't have time to groom players. You got to have instant guys. And then you can earn the right to be able to pick a guy that you can groom or wait on or something like that. But right now, y'all just ain't there because of what happened past season, the previous season.
The previous four seasons since you've been the GM. The previous seven seasons since the last time they made the playoffs.
Yeah, man.
Like, you know, all of the baggage is not everyone's baggage, right?
Yeah.
But it's the franchise baggage, and it certainly seems to be Arthur Blank has at least some sense of urgency about it, I would imagine. So it kind of is.
Yeah.
Like, Raheem hasn't missed the playoffs 7 years in a row.
Right.
The Falcons have.
Correct.
He missed the playoffs once. Terry hasn't missed the playoffs 7 years in a row. The Falcons have.
Right.
He's missed the playoffs 4 years in a row, has never had a winning season. But they work for the Falcons.
That's it.
And the Falcons haven't made the playoffs since 2017. So that baggage and that urgency and whatever you want to call it, desperation maybe, it's yours.
Yep.
Like, you got to wear it. You're a part of it, so that means you don't have time to be doing all that. You got to get a guy who starts day
right
one,
now,
day two, all of that.
And Andy, like, one of his quotes he said, we have to take an impact player. You don't take an immediate impact rotational tackle. You know what I mean? You don't take that. You go and get you a guy that you're going to pencil in as your day one starter at whatever position you're going to get him at this 15 spot. Or if it's at 15, or is that 21, or if it's, hell, if it's at 12. Wherever you take this guy, you got to get a guy. He has to be your day one starter, in my opinion. Now, they view it differently. I know we view edge rushes differently because of the rotation and all those different things. And you got some veterans like Evan Cady. You go out and get Leonard Floyd. So could he be your third end or something like that, rotating in, playing a lot of plays? Yeah, that could possibly happen. But, no, you got to find a guy that ain't going to be running second team in the season. And then if somebody goes down, he comes, oh, here comes the first-round pick, so-and-so. No, he's got to be in there. He's got to be affecting the outcome of games. And he ain't doing that by getting the defense ready on scout team playing tackle.
No.
Okay?
No. You also don't have the level of draft capital that you'd want.
Right.
In a year where you have as many holes on your roster. So that puts an even more of an emphasis on that first and second round draft pick, assuming you don't trade back. Even if you do, there's still a huge emphasis on it because you have holes and you need to address them. One name that we haven't spent a lot of time talking about yet, and we'll have Emory Hunt on at 1:20 today, because we've spent so much of our time focusing on edge rushers, some interior defensive linemen, maybe a corner, because there's been some mock drafts with corners, maybe an offensive tackle, because they spent some time working those guys out, is Jahad Campbell out of Alabama.
Mm-hmm.
Now, he's a linebacker. Outside linebacker. Because, you know, sometimes people list it as linebackers now, but that means they rush the passer. Mm-hmm. That's not what he is.
No, he's off the ball.
He's a traditional, he's a traditional linebacker. He's awesome. He's really, really good.
Yes, he is.
That's not something we've spent much time at all talking about in this draft process,
right. But
I've seen his name. I saw Peter Schrager had him in his final mock draft today, and I've seen his name floating around there a little bit for the Falcons. So I want to get Emery's thoughts on him, but that's just another avenue that they could travel down if they wanted to tomorrow.
He's a good damn player.
Very good player.
A day one starter. Now, the difference between him and Jalen Walker is, I think right now, he may be a better off-the-ball player than Jalen, but Jalen adds the pass rush aspect to his game. That's why he's going to be drafted.
Yeah, Jalen's probably more versatile.
Yeah, that's why he's going to be drafted higher
and
everything like that. But, I mean, he's a defensive impact player. We do know that. And they need as many as they possibly can. I think they have one, but he just can't stay on the damn field.
Yeah, that's exactly who I was thinking about when I saw the Jahad Campbell mock.
He just can't stay on the damn field.
What does that mean for Troy Anderson?
Yeah, he just can't stay on the damn field.
But you need a plan, right? Like, it would be great if Troy Anderson could start and play 17 games and, you know, live up to the flashes you've seen, like last year in the New Orleans game, but he just hadn't been able to.
Yeah.
So having a I don't know. I don't know if you call it insurance or whatever. Again, they both need to play.
Yes.
So if you draft Jahad Campbell in the first round, that guy's got to be on the field game one.
Yes,
he play got, one and play the whole. If he's, you know, not play
your
the
green,
whole year.
If he's not your green dot guy, some don't take him.
Right.
You know, but I mean, it's going to be a lot of players right there that can come in and help this team. And I think it's just all about, you know, fit, comfort. We've talked about red flags, whatever you want to get to it. It's almost time. Line season almost over, because eventually with the 15th pick, it's going to be, or the 21st or wherever, it's coming up soon. And it's coming up quick, fast, in a hurry. Now, I don't know if their board is set. I would think they got some names around where 15 could be, but you just never know.
What he said was that it is. But things can change.
Things can change. That's exactly what he said. Exactly, yeah. Because a guy can – Cleveland Farrell, I bet didn't nobody have Cleveland Farrell going for but the damn Raiders.
Yeah,
everybody was like, huh?
Yeah, the Raiders board was set.
They were like, huh?
And then whoever drafted fifth that
year
was
Brian Burns?
Wait a minute, this guy's here?
Whoa.
All right, great. We'll take him.
Appreciate it. Yeah, I mean, so that
– Yeah, your board is your board. But what happens before you, you cannot predict.
And that is going to happen. That always happens. I think New England's at that spot where, do they want to take one of the tackles? Is there a tackle worthy of being number four? Well, if he's worthy of seven at four.
I've seen it. The kid out of LSU. Yeah, I've seen mocking him at four.
You got to protect your young quarterback. And his we talked to, I forgot who we talked to, about the arm length thing, this new arm length thing.
I think it was Cosell. Was it? I think it was.
Yeah, but his arm length thing was a big thing. You remember that? From the combine to his pro day, his arm length. Oh, can he block him?
It's like he's got like the shortest arms of the offensive tackle that would be drafted in the top 10 maybe.
Yeah. All right. But always, like I said, quarterback looks like Cam Ward's going to be the number one pick.
Yeah, that looks like
That looks like they're
– Walk that one to the podium right now.
Cleveland's
the way Cam was talking on that podcast or whatever it was, that video game last week.
Oh, yeah. Calvin Ridley.
He made his Mount Rushmore Traylon receivers. Burke. And Traylon Burke and Calvin Ridley were on it. I think he told us he was getting drafted.
Back. Yeah, man. But, there's other – the running backs. I mean, when was the last time we had a running back drafted? Oh, Saquon. Zeke was drafted number four overall.
Yep.
So just people jump up for running back. Jacksonville, I think Jacksonville, people looking at Jacksonville like, well, the safe pick right there is Mason.
Right.
But,
Gene T's tantalizing.
Yeah, man.
He's a very talented player. He can do a lot of different things.
A lot of fun.
It would be real. And they have that, quote unquote, we'll see. He's never been a head coach before, so I'll reserve judgment till he does it for a couple of years. But an offensive guru head coach, Liam Cohen.
Oh, yeah.
Doesn't know how to say Duval, but but apparently he's a genius.
Yeah,
but everybody's a genius.
There he is.
Everybody's a genius until they put on that headset. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and stuff is going fast.
Most people aren't.
Yeah,
which is fine. You don't have to be a genius.
All that stuff is going fast. But Braves got a noon game today, Andy. And one of my favorite quotable athletes is Conor McGregor.
Oh, right? Okay.
And Conor, I remember that clip where Conor McGregor was like, "Who that? Blank is this guy." That's how I was yesterday when I looked up and whoever went out there to pitch for the Braves yesterday.
Well, I mean,
like, who the hell is this guy?
We had Blewett to start.
I know.
Scott Blewett. And he actually didn't. He pitched really well.
We knew him. I know him. I know Bummer. I'm talking about the mother cats. Yeah, I was like, who the hell is this guy?
Well, you did have one guy literally making his major league debut at the end of the game. No one had ever seen him before.
Who the hell is this guy? Who's this guy that can't get nobody out?
Yeah.
I was like, God. I think they're hitting the ball really, really well. So you mean to tell me that she's going to throw a guy that just You know what? He needs on-the-job training. Like, y'all ain't that good. On-the-job training.
Well, the frustrating thing for me was, I mean, you got actually really good innings out of Scott Blewett to start the game. And then Aaron Bummer came in and was even better.
Yes.
He was really solid.
Yes.
So you got into the sixth inning solid.
Yes.
Like, you were doing a good job
three
in a bullpen
innings,
game.
Andy.
And then guys that you're actually going to count on in Montero and Lee and De Los Santos that are going to be in your bullpen came in and were terrible.
And I kept saying, who
they were terrible.
Guys? I'm not realizing that they are going to be a part of this going
Dylan
forward.
Dylan Lee started a World Series game years ago.
I kept saying, who the hell is this guy? This guy must be a first-time pitcher or something. Like,
no.
Who's this guy?
No.
Like,
no. Those guys are your guys.
Are you serious?
Those guys are your guys.
We're going to make some moves, man. Well, let's bring some starters up.
They did make a move.
I know.
Jesse Chavez
back
again.
Come on, man.
It's not even Cinco de Mayo.
I thought Jesse was gone.
And Jesse's been signed twice by the Braves.
I thought Jesse was gone.
Jesse's never gone.
Jesse's never leaving. Jesse's kids go to
that Cinco de Mayo thing with Jesse had nothing to do with each other either. That was just a date on the calendar.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
So leave me alone.
Yeah, Jesse's kids probably go to Parkview. They would never have to leave school because daddy would be right back.
Oh, man, we have to move? No, you don't. Yeah, you know. I'll be back.
Enjoy it. I'll be back. Give me a couple months, baby.
They really did sign Jesse Chavez today.
I know. I saw it.
It's not a joke.
I saw it.
They really did that. All right, we'll come back. We'll get to what's trending to kick off the show on a hump day. Thanks for being with us. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
If you're a parent or share a fridge with someone, Instacart is about to make grocery shopping so much easier. Because with family carts, you can share a cart with your partner and each add the items you want. Since between the two of you, odds are you'll both remember everything you need. And this way, you'll never have to eat milkless cereal again. So minimize the stress of the weekly shop with family carts. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three orders. Service fees apply. For three orders in 14 days. Excludes restaurants.
I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need. This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Matt Olson sends it out to left center field. It is still going, and it gets out of here. Just enough juice for Mattio.
I was really hoping that Matt Olson was going to pull a Kirk Gibson here, limp around the bases, and give us the fist bump, because this was pretty special after that foul ball. Great power to the opposite field for Matt Olson. Good at bat for him. He hit that one 390 feet.
Way to go, M.O.
Olson in a little bit of a groove right now. I think that's 7-game hitting streak right now for him.
There we go.
And that was great. That made the game 4-2. It looked like the bullpen game was going to be favorable for the Braves, and maybe you could get out of there with a series win before even playing game 3 today. And then they had to go deeper into the bullpen.
Yep.
And then things stopped going well. Scott Blewett did a pretty nice job. Aaron Bummer did a really nice job. But then Rafael Montero, Dylan Lee, and Yel De Los Santos, and Nathan Wiles making his major league debut. Shout out to him. A dream achieved.
Mm-hmm.
probably would have liked to have seen it go better. Didn't ultimately matter because they were down a bunch and then they were down a bunch more. But yeah, man, the deeper they got into the bullpen, the worse things got.
Andy, it was 4-4. I went and did something around the house. I came back. I was like, hold on. Where the hell did them 6 runs come from? Like, it was that bad of a performance by the bullpen.
3 in the 8th, in the 9th.
But yeah, I'm like, damn. But I think, you know, the most important thing is that, no, winning is the most important thing. But you want to see, like you said, Matt Olson doing what he did. Austin Riley's still playing his ass off.
Yeah. 3 hits again yesterday.
Marcel Ozuna's.
Four walks.
Like, is this Barry Bonds?
He's got the Barry Bonds eye.
Is Barry Bonds?
Yeah.
You know?
He went to the Barry Bonds LASIK Surgery Institute.
And then, you know, Sean Murphy. I mean, so many guys are playing well that we need to play well for this team to dig themselves out of this hole. So I'll take that positive. That crap that I saw, who the blank are these guys? Like, this is who we're rolling with, huh?
Yeah, but I know that's the thing, though,
this
man.
This we rolling
like,
with?
That is the bullpen.
This we rolling
like,
with.
Like, a lot of these guys are the guys.
This we rolling with.
These aren't, you
know. I'm all in on Bummer and Blewett. Yeah, all in on them.
Dylan Lee's like, you know, he's like one of the guys.
I'm all in on Blewett and Bummer. All right, until I don't have to be. You just know? Who's the star pitcher that I threw away earlier this week?
I think he's starting today.
Hold on.
Elder?
They bring Bryce Elder back?
Yeah, Bryce Elder's pitching today. Starting about half an hour.
Let him be a reliever.
Now he's starting today.
He's going to do good today. All right, here we go, Bryce. Here we go. Here we go, babe.
You kicked him off the team 4 days ago.
Here we go, babe. Here we go.
He's going up against Miles Michaelis, who's equally bad. At this point.
Here we go, Bryce.
He's actually worse. He's like a little bit worse, yeah. Actually.
So here's a stat that you're probably not going to like because it involves a former, you know, good friend of ours from the Braves.
Maybe I'll like it.
Miles Michaelis, up until Sunday, based on, you know, StatCast metrics and what all the nerdy stuff, was the worst pitcher in baseball.
The only one worse now is Charlie Morton.
100%.
Boy, is Charlie Morton off to
Silas struggling like that.
They might have to ask Charlie to just pack
Charlie
his stuff
Morton
up and head
up
on home.
Brave.
Huh? Or retired.
Charlie going to be a Brave.
I mean, if you honestly, would you rather Charlie Morton start today or Bryce Elder? I guess Elder because he's on the team. But
Charlie?
I mean.
It's Baltimore, man. It's in Baltimore smells.
Yeah, it's cold up there.
Exactly.
Smells.
It's the fishy smells.
It's the fishy smell, man.
It's the fishy smell
that's getting to him, man. That's what it is. The fishy smell. That's what's getting to old Charlie.
Yeah.
Well, he's Charlie now because he don't play here no more. So, Charlie.
Charlie is not off to a good start in Baltimore.
I don't like saying it like that, Charlie.
Yeah. Max Fried's doing good in New
York.
Being
called one of the worst.
What happened to Max Fried last week with the no hitter? I know he lost a no hitter bid, but then they took an error that was a hit.
Oh, I don't know. I didn't see that.
I saw some kind of confusion they had last week with because Max Fried had a no hitter going into the eighth.
He's been very good. Not surprising.
Yeah, I mean, especially after the first start, they're like, "Oh, Randy, you see Max Fried struggling though." Like, okay.
Yeah, like kinda. We'll take that struggle.
I'm like, okay.
Just wait. He'll get a blister.
Yeah.
He'll get a blister. You won't see him till August. Here's Snit saying he's not worried about the bullpen today, though.
We're okay, really. Some of them that pitched today, you know, we're kind of aware of. Other than, you know, De Los Santos went a little farther than what I really had hoped, but you know, we have Pierce back. Dizabelle's good. Dilla can go again.
Okay.
Bummer will be down. De Los Santos will be down. Probably stay away from Iggy again. But, you know, we need a good start.
Yeah.
That's the key.
That's the
key. We need Bryce to be efficient and chew up some innings, and we should be fine.
That would be helpful.
Yeah.
That would be helpful. If Bryce Elder could go, what do you need? We need five? I'll take five.
I'll take five.
Give me 5-2.
No.
5-2 runs.
I don't want no runs, Buck.
Yeah, but I mean, it's Bryce
Elder. He can't do that. Okay, fine. Two runs. Fine.
5 innings, 2 runs. We'll take that as a win. Then you go, you got Pierce Johnson, like you said. He said Dylan Lee's still good to go. Can't have Iglesias out there for some reason. But yeah, they got it.
Yeah,
he's
all right. And then I saw, okay, so Kimbrel's up at Gwinnett now.
So he's getting closer.
Okay, so we got another reliever coming.
He's on the way.
Yeah, he's on the way.
And they signed Jesse Chavez. So things are fine.
Yeah, they signed Jesse Chavez because they knew Bryce Elder was going on. So Jesse could pitch at inning 2 once he get his ass ran up out of there. That's why he brought Jesse up.
Jesse's not up. They just signed him.
I thought he brought him to the big club.
Did they? I don't think so. I think he's just another. I could be.
Oh, okay.
I could be wrong.
Oh, I thought they. Oh, no, I thought they signed him to a minor league.
Oh,
contract. I thought they brought Jesse to the big club. That's what I was asking. That's why they brought Jesse.
It's the same.
So Bryce Elder, when he struggles after one injury,
sure they brought him up.
Oh, Jesse, my bad.
They had signed him to the minor league deal a while back.
My apologies.
After he cleared
waivers. Jesse is available.
That's what I'm saying. Jesse's available today because Schnitt knows.
I just thought there was no way
that damn Elder is going to stank today. No, I'm sorry. There's a possibility that he could stink.
It's a decent chance. And you have to score some runs today,
yes,
guys.
And so you got to bring Jesse in.
Four is not enough.
Jesse can get you 2 through 6.
Sean Murphy has 9 hits this year.
Yes.
6 of them are homers.
Yes. He's been outstanding. Right. He's been great.
Yeah, well, Terry, keep that ratio up.
Yeah, he's been great.
All right, let's hear from Terry Fontenot. He met with the media earlier today ahead of the first round of the NFL draft. Tomorrow, I'm pretty sure we'll talk to him on Friday when we're up at Flowery Branch. But here he is talking about whether or not the first pick has to be on defense.
Well, look, we got to take an impact player. And what usually happens, Mark, just the truth, what usually happens with that is you're going to have players in that category. And when it works out perfect, you have players that are in a high category that fits one of your needs. And so you'd expect with the depth of the draft, and okay, there's going to be defensive players. But what you can't do at any pick, if this is the category and you're reaching down here for a need, and just taking a, if you say, Terry, you got to take a this particular player right here. Okay, yes. You can take that player.
Yes, you can.
But if you're dipping down here to take him and reaching like we were talking about earlier, that's when you make mistakes. And if there's impact players at other positions, we got to make this team better.
No,
so we're not going to be afraid to take an impact player off the
board. Don't be afraid to make the team better, Terry.
No.
Please don't be afraid to make the team better.
Do not take an impact player when you already have impact players there.
Yeah.
Do not take
an impact player at a position of need.
And we got my favorite Falcon meme with the gas can standing outside of
it's already happened.
It's already happened. Don't take Luther Burton.
Can't do it.
All right, you got impact players. He's a really good player. Don't
He's
wrong.
Really good.
But no.
He's really good.
No.
You can't do it.
No.
If you were wondering to yourself, like if you're listening to us right now and you're thinking, oh yeah, I forgot Terry Fontenot had his press conference this morning.
Yes.
I meant to listen to that. Should I go back and listen to it? And I mean this with all due respect. Every answer was like that because they're all going to be. Mm-hmm. Terry Fontenot, again, predictably and correctly, didn't tell anyone anything about anything.
No.
Because he's never going to ever. Now, Friday when we talk to him, he will tell us some stuff about the guy they draft.
Yeah.
So that'll be good. Like, that's one of the few times we know we'll talk to Terry Fontenot and 100% get an honest answer about something. Because it's not even dishonest. It's just he's going to actually answer the questions on Friday because we're going to ask him about the guy they picked on Thursday.
Right.
Today, the day before the draft, him and every other general manager in football isn't going to tell you a damn thing.
No.
So when you ask him, do you have to take a defensive player at 15? You already know what the answer is going to be. The answer is going to be, I'm not going to tell you
and
that.
Whoever,
now, that was a long, nice way of saying I'm not going to tell you that, but of course he's not going to tell you that.
And whoever we and when we talked to Terry on Friday, because we usually do talk to him, we know what two of the answers are going to be, all right? One is going to be, he was high on our board.
He was high on our board. We can't believe he was there.
And we couldn't believe he was there.
Yeah.
Couldn't believe he was
there. Oh, sorry. That was the second one?
Yes.
Okay, so those are the two.
Yeah, so we'll make sure that we get that one out the way first.
And then the third one will be, why did you feel like you needed to add to this offense? And he'll say,
Andy,
we have to take impact players when they're available.
If they take, like, I ain't finna sit up here and cap and say a wolf to, because it's my job to be up.
Right,
there.
We'll be there.
It's my job.
And we'll
to be there.
Professional.
But I'm just telling you, man. I would probably call Mike. Say, I can't come today. Man.
I mean, I did say to him 2 years ago in the nicest way possible, like, how do you not take Jalen Carter?
Yes.
I mean, it's like, he was right there for you. Yep. Now, again, we love Bijan. Not saying we don't. Yes. But, like, it was the dream scenario that Jalen Carter would somehow fall to 8, and he did. Mm-hmm. And then he didn't take
him. I would take – I mean, I love Bijan, but I still would have took – from what everything I've seen of this man, and he is special, I would have still – and I would redraft it, and I would still take Jalen Carter right there.
I don't think my opinion's going to change on that one.
Yeah. No.
No.
No, as great as Bijan was.
Bijan's really, 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 really good.
He's a special player.
He's a special player.
I'm taking – that dude.
I would prefer to have Jalen Carter.
Yes.
I'd prefer to have Jalen Carter.
Yes.
But yeah, so those, you know, it's always fun to predict the interview 3 days in advance, but that's what it's going to be.
Yeah.
Here's some more from Terry Fontenot. This actually was a little bit of news yesterday that that Kirk Cousins showed up to the voluntary portion of their offseason program. Here he is talking about that.
I wouldn't say a surprise. It's a, you know, this is a voluntary thing. And And so whether a player comes or doesn't come, we have a lot of really good professionals that we know whether they're here or somewhere else, they're going to really take care of their body. And obviously Kirk is one of those guys. So I wouldn't say a surprise because it is voluntary. These guys, they put in a lot with what they do. And so they deserve times with their families if they decide not to come or to come. So I wouldn't say it was a surprise.
But I mean, kids still in school.
Yep.
Yeah, the kids are still in school. Couple more weeks of school, so probably want to uproot the boys and everything like that. But I never forget my last year, because I never worked out in the city that I played in, except when I was in Miami. So one day I just showed up out the blue. Like the first meeting of off-season edition, I showed up and I was in the
In what city?
In San Diego.
In San Diego.
Yeah, okay. I was like, and so showed up and everybody was like, "The hell you doing here?" I know there were a lot of "what the hell you doing here" yesterday, yeah, with Kirk Cousins.
Like no offense, right, to Terry Fontenot,
yes,
there,
yes,
but there was a lot of people, yes, surprised.
Yeah, no,
myself included, okay, by,
yeah,
the way.
They look at me like
that Kirk Cousins showed up to the, yeah, voluntary workouts. Yes.
Yeah, and I didn't have workout bonuses stuff. I made, right, sure I got all that in different bonuses, but they were like, "The hell you doing here?" I'm almost 100% sure that everybody that saw him yesterday, "The hell you doing here?"
Huh. Well, still part of it. Yeah. Still on the team.
I ain't saying that Terry and Rock cuss and that like that, but I'm just like, what the F he doing here?
Been here.
Yeah.
And then they probably did the math we did yesterday in real, yep, time. We're like, well, probably some percentage of workouts he's got to,
yeah,
attend,
yeah,
to get a bonus.
Yeah, exactly.
And Rod's like, man, I don't thought maybe he'd skip the $250,000 bonus on a man with a $100 million contract, not Kirk.
Cats do that, though.
Kirk's not going to miss out on one red cent.
What was that, 2 years ago? Lamar like gave up like $800,000?
Yeah.
Yeah, $800,000, yeah, workout bonus?
Just to not go.
Just not go?
Kirk's not doing that.
Kirk ain't doing it.
No, Kirk's got,
yeah.
Kirk's got, I don't know. When you have that much money and then you get that amount of money, what do? You just like buy another rental property or something, or put it in a fund?
Pretty much.
Some sort of high interest,
definitely,
index fund or something like that? I don't know. There's definitely funds I don't know about. Grant McCauley's going to join us next. We'll talk some Braves with him. Obviously, yesterday didn't go the way that we wanted. Get a Strider update from Grant McCauley. Ask him again about Jesse Chavez being back on the team for somehow the second time this season, 25 games in. So don't go anywhere. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like picking a TV show. Too many options, too much hype, and no way to know what's actually good. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break through real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Leave TV to fate. Leave your next financial move to the nerds. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can choose the TV you want with DirecTV.
So now they can pick out their favorite entertainment when they sign up and save money?
You mean if you like sports,
you can get a sports pack.
What about entertainment?
Entertainment pack.
It's like finding an old pizza with your favorite toppings.
Which for me would be pineapple and toenails. Pineapple?
Pay for the TV you want, not the TV you don't. Genre pack starting at $34.99 a month. Visit DirectTV.com for more information. New residential customers only. Local channels vary by market. Services renew monthly unless you cancel online. Credit card required. Restrictions apply.
Hey everyone, quick shout out to Whole Foods Market. You know I'm all about eating fresh and finding quality ingredients, and that's exactly what Whole Foods delivers. Whether you're grabbing organic produce, high quality meats, or just a quick healthy snack, they've got you covered. Plus, they're all about sustainability and supporting local farmers, which I love. Next time you're grocery shopping, check them out. You'll taste the difference. Spring is the perfect time to refresh your table, and Whole Foods Market has everything you need. Hosting brunch? Picture this. Flaky, buttery quiche, crispy bacon, fresh berries, and of course, cold-pressed orange juice to brighten up your morning. And if you're in the mood for something fizzy, check out their seasonal Italian sodas. Berry Blend and Orange Hibiscus are total must-tries. So whether you're planning a casual get-together or a full-on feast, Whole Foods Market has you covered. Make Whole Foods Market your destination for all spring gatherings.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. Whether you're going smooth shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Visit DollarShaveClub.com and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more.
I was just enjoying a little Motown Philly, okay? Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
You know they didn't want to record this song?
They didn't? How come?
I don't know. They didn't like it. They didn't like the original concept of Motown Philly.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Interesting. So they wanted to go kind of like a different direction.
Uh-huh.
It was a good thing they did record.
Yeah, Mike was like, yeah, y'all record it. I'm sure y'all gonna like it. So
yeah, no, it worked out pretty good. I love that part in the middle where they like tell that story about walking up to the guy and they did the performance for him.
Yes,
and then he was like, oh, we got to sign him. These guys are amazing.
Yes, if you watch the movie, watch the documentary, the New Edition documentary, they kind of had that.
Oh, okay, they kind of stole the idea.
Yeah, kind of stole that.
Oh, yeah. All right, well. No idea is new. We'll come back. No, we won't. We're not going anywhere. We just came back. NFL No Huddle is about 20 minutes away. We'll let you hear more from Terry Fontenot at 12:20. Emory Hunt going to join us at 1:20, one of our favorite draft analysts. Get some last-minute thoughts on as many Falcon potential targets at 15 as we can. But with some things moving around a little bit, let's get to Grant McCauley and the Braves having a day game today. Let's get to Grant McCauley a little early on a Wednesday. All right, Grant, we were hoping we'd be talking on a five-game winning streak, but 4 out of 5 is not bad given the way the season has started. I guess an update on Spencer Strider, but then also how do you pull your hamstring playing catch? Like, how does this happen?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's as frustrating as anything, especially for Spencer Strider, who stood in front of his locker yesterday and had a conversation that did not include a bunch of answers. It was just a freak, strange occurrence. There was nothing he said that was out of the ordinary from how he prepared, from what he was doing. He was, I think, even more surprised that it was just flat ground throwing from a manageable distance. I think he said 75 feet. And you know, prior, he'd already done a bullpen. You may have seen Spencer Strider, or you may not have. It may happen before the ballpark gets open. Throw from long distance, which a lot of pitchers like to do, 300-400 feet, and really kind of air it out there, just part of that routine. But long story short, it was just the craziest quick thing that occurred on one throw. He kind of felt, I guess, some kind of tingling sensation or a sting. And then the next throw, he felt the pull. And at that point, he walked right off the field. And his worry was that this was going to be a lot more extensive than it ended up being. The imaging that they took showed a grade 1 strain, which, as far as strains go, is the best case scenario. But as I'm sure we've talked about in multiple sports and certainly with the Braves, everybody's body reacts a little bit differently. So there's no firm timetable on this, but they did backdate the IL stint. So maybe, fingers crossed for Spencer Strider, among others, he's able to get back in the minimum amount of time. He's going to be able to keep throwing, which is good, but this definitely hits pause on what had been the process to get him built back, get him back here, and have him in the saddle for a while.
Man, we just had some fun just a second ago, Grant, with, I mean, it's not Barry Bonds, but it's Marcelo Ozuna and the walks that he's getting. I mean, is it more or less the teams are not giving him anything to hit, or it's just his discipline at the plate?
I think it's a little bit of both. I mean, he's certainly not going to break Bonds' walk record anytime soon, right. But he's drawing them at a pace to which he has never in his career before. I was looking at it last night. Just when he drew his first of 4 walks on the night, he didn't draw his 20th walk, which that was. The first of the 4 last night was number 20 in game number, 21 mm-hmm. or 20? He didn't draw that until game number 43 last year.
Wow.
So he is so far ahead of pace. It's just one of the unbelievable, quirky, statistical things that comes with a long baseball season. But the Braves certainly need him to continue doing what he's doing, but they need some other guys to step up, and I think some are. And it's just going to take a more concerted effort to really get this thing moving in the right direction and find the consistency. That's the key, right?
When you chalk it up to quirky, does that mean that you think maybe it sort of normalizes a little bit as the season goes on, or is this something that he's like actively worked on and trying to focus on adding, just getting on base, however?
Yeah, I think his selectivity is certainly there. I mean, that it starts with that, but I think there's also opposing pitchers realizing, hey, we don't really have to go after him if the 5 and 6 hitters are maybe a little bit more aggressive, which has certainly been the case for Ozzie Albies and Michael Harris, who have been the guys behind him for the most part this year. They bumped him up in the order, which I guess they could do again, but if you've got Austin Riley swinging the bat well and you've got Matt Olson swinging it well, I think Ozuna kind of makes sense, you know, protecting those two guys. So there's a few moving parts that you can have to it, but it's just one of those things that I think over the course of 162 games, we'll see the ebbs and the flows of it, because I don't want to alarm anybody, but there will be a time, a period in the season in which he won't be hitting either. How long he stays in it seems to be a lot shorter than some of the other hitters. But to make a long story short, they need every bit of what he's doing, but they'd love for him to have more opportunities to hit with runners on base where the pitcher's got nowhere to put him.
Grant, we were talking on Monday about Michael Harris in the leadoff spot, and I was asking, you know, as you want to talk about the profile, he fits the profile of a leadoff hitter, but for some reason it seemed like he hits better, you know, in, you know, 6 through 9, somewhere in that area right now. He's leading off today, which I saw. Is it, I mean, what do you take it, what do you look at it as when he's not comfortable? Is he not comfortable there, or is he just more comfortable at another spot?
No, I don't really know that it has to do with one spot in particular, though I'm sure we could, you know, break down each and every, you know, place in the order that he's hit and where he's been the most successful, which I think for the most part is somewhere around that 6th spot, if we're not going to hit a talented hitter like that 9th forever, which I don't think they want to.
Right.
The thing about him that profiles as a leadoff hitter is when he is going well and drawing just enough walks to go with the base hits that he collects, then you've got an on-base percentage that's workable at the top of the order. When he's making bad swing decisions and not walking, you have a hitter that should probably not be getting the most plate appearances on the team, which is what the leadoff hitter gets. So I think it remains a moving target before they get that guy back, you know, number 13, who should really help stabilize this lineup and set the table better than anybody else is going to be able to. So it's just trying different guys in different spots and seeing what they're able to show for you, because it's been mix and match a lot for the Braves since really dating back to last season, and I'm sure they'd like to find that continuity there and find him a place he can get comfortable and just enjoy himself again. And I think that will happen. It's just not happening yet.
Hey, speaking of number 13, I don't know if you saw this or heard about it or not, but he tweeted something. And
really?
Then, yeah, I know. It's pretty weird. Not that many people use Twitter. But look, obviously.
No, in fact, they changed the name.
Yeah, I know. They don't even call it that anymore. Look, I don't know. Make of it whatever you want, people driving around out there. I'm interested to hear just sort of now that the, you know, the general outrage has died down a bit, I would hope. Is there anything from this that you actually you take, that you actually look at and say, all right, like, you know, maybe there is something to talk about here, to think about from a real baseball perspective?
No, I mean, just some people involved need to sit down in the same room with one another and have some honest conversations about how they're feeling and, you know, where everybody's priorities are, which the number one priority should be with winning, with doing the things that it takes to win, with making the contributions both on and off the field that help the team individually and collectively work toward that goal. And that, I think, is kind of the breakdown here. And, you know, I think we've talked about it and don't need to relitigate the whole thing from 6 years ago, but clearly it struck a nerve. And you want to see, and I think that, you know, he made a point, you know, while it obviously ruffled some feathers and maybe didn't come across the way that he wanted it to, he's certainly justifiable to feel that way. I just feel like there was a major communication breakdown that could have been handled in a different way that would have helped everybody to get through it and probably not have it play out in such a public fashion. But it is what it is. The genie's out of the bottle, I guess, as they say, and they're going to have to just sit down and sort it out. I don't think it's a permanent wedge. I don't get that impression from Brian Snitker. I don't get that impression from Ronald Acuna Jr., but you know, everybody's going to feel different about certain situations, but what you want to see is consistency, and I feel like that situation was not handled consistently with other situations that had happened prior to that, and that's probably where I would leave it. But some people need to sit down in a room and have some conversations with one another, get it all out there on the table so they can move forward.
Grant, this bullpen, Grant, and mainly yesterday, because I know Bummer and Blewett, they were fine, and when we found out that we were going to have a Bummer and Blewett on the in the
pitcher names,
it
right?
was yeah, awesome. Really like, oh yeah, we're gonna have a lot of fun with that. But they were great yesterday, Grant. You know, and it's not one of those things where we look about going forward. But the guys that were after them, you look at them as part of probably a major piece, including the guy who went the previous day, our closer. Nothing to worry about, right?
Well, I mean, I'm not going to sit here and tell you that there's nothing wrong with it and it's all working fine and they don't have some things to iron out, because I believe they do. I think they've been ironing it out for the first 3-plus weeks of the season, and they're going to continue to do that. Maybe they'll have some moves that they can make at some point, and there are obviously going to be some pieces that are going to come onto and off of the roster on a regular basis to help out. But when you go through the winter and you don't add a reliever to replace the loss of somebody like A.J. Minter, and then you lose Joe Jimenez, you have lost both of your best setup men. And so something somewhere along the line should have probably been done there, you know, months ago. But since you can't turn back time and, you know, you don't have the ability to make the same kind of moves now that you did over the course of the winter, they're going to have to figure it out with the guys that they have available to them in the system, one of which could be Craig Kimbrell, who is pitching pretty well in the minors, but I haven't gotten a really firm read on where his velocity is, and obviously he's still building up, so it's probably a week or two away at the very least before he can make an impact. They're going to have to continue to find guys to step up and cover innings. The starting rotation could help out, but you lose Ronaldo Lopez and Spencer Strider for whatever length of time. It only makes it more complicated, I guess, is what I'm saying. So I don't envy the position they're in. It feels very reminiscent of where they were at times last year as well, and they're just going to have to sort it out until they can go out and kind of outsource some of this help and bring somebody in that maybe can provide some quality innings. But it does shine a light big time on what wasn't done over the offseason to put them in the best position.
What do you think Kimbrel's role will be here, Grant?
Just a setup guy, leverage guy. I mean, if something happens with Iglesias, obviously, which knock on wood, you don't want to cross that bridge either, then obviously he has a pretty good resume to close some games if you need him to. But I think the expectation is come in, find a role, contribute there, and go from there. And I think he's happy to have work and have this opportunity maybe to come home as well in a way of speaking, because he pitched some of his best baseball, if not his best baseball, in a Braves uniform. So it should be interesting to see when he does rejoin the big league squad, whenever that does happen.
Cool to see what Alex Verdugo has done in the first five games in that leadoff spot. Obviously, winning four out of the five of them helps, but he's had some really good games as well. I see he's not in the lineup today, but what do you see his role being kind of between now and when Acuna comes back, and then when Acuna does come back as well?
Yeah, I mean, he's certainly making a case to get more playing time. And, you know, when Ronald gets back, which I think that rehab assignment is going to start next week, and, you know, that could take a couple of weeks, could be 3 weeks. We're still looking at the early, probably mid portion of May if we're being conservative about it. We'll see. But, I mean, if you play and you're hot, I think you get the opportunity to get more bats. And I think that Verdugo, if he continues doing what he's doing, he's a proven guy. He had been a very useful hitter, had a bad year last year, but I mean, the Yankees gave him playing time in the World Series. So clearly there's some value there. He's 28 years old, and I think that the Braves would very much like to, you know, get whatever contribution they can from whoever walks through that door. Because, again, you're not in the portion of the season where you can go shopping and start plucking pieces off of clubs that are out of it, even if some clubs are going to be completely out of it. They're just not selling right now. So making the best of a bad situation, and maybe that signing was something that occurred based on information that was already kind of starting to percolate regarding Jurickson Profar, but that hasn't really been confirmed. That's just my sinking suspicion.
That seems reasonable. Grant, we appreciate it, as always. Thank you.
Appreciate it, G-Mac.
Yeah, guys.
Grant McCauley there every single Wednesday here on the Midday Show with Andy and Randy, usually a little bit later in the show, but the Braves' first pitch is just after noon today, so Grant joined us before noon. You can always hear him on Sundays hosting From the Diamond, and you can follow him on Twitter as well. Kind of a cool moment last night at the house. We had the pregame on, getting ready with the Braves, I don't know, around 7 o'clock or whatever, kind of getting everybody ready for wind down, put pajamas on. And Michael Harris was on TV doing an interview, and Lily recognized him.
Really?
She said, that's Michael Harris.
There we go.
It's the first baseball player she's ever recognized before, which is pretty cool, because like Michael Harris is going to be here for a long time.
Yes,
so
he is.
Maybe that's her favorite guy. I don't know, but it was really cool that she recognized
him. We need to get her jersey.
Get him a Michael Harris jersey now. She has the, you know, the what do they call it? The one that says the A on it? What's that called? Like the City Edition or something like that? She has that jersey. City Connect jersey.
Okay.
She has that one. And she had an Acuna t-shirt jersey that now Jack can wear. But yeah, maybe we get the Michael Harris t-shirt jersey or maybe a headband or something like that. I don't know.
Some sunglasses?
I was just so happy. I was like, how'd you know that? And then Ashley was like, well, her dad does host a sports radio show, and we watch every single Braves game every day. And I was like, oh, that's a good point.
I was still very excited about it. It could be one of those things, man, but that's awesome.
Also, if you're going to pick a favorite player, like, that's a really good one.
Yeah, because he is a really good young player. Hopefully, he gets his thing right as far as tonight.
I know. Hopefully, he can
do well. I want to see him do well up there.
Well, and I would also hate that it would have to be that he has to bat sixth to do well.
Right.
He's too – not to – look, you can be a good hitter wherever, but, like – he's too good of a hitter to have to bat sixth.
Right.
You want that dude getting as many at-bats as possible, and in the leadoff spot, you would get as many at-bats as possible. Who would be the worst guy to have be your kid's first favorite player?
Oh, man.
Because Michael Harris is a good one, right?
Yeah. Oh, man.
Like Bryce Elder. Oh, good. Bryce is pitching. I love that guy.
Daddy, Bryce is pitching. Oh, God.
Good. No. Get to the TV quick because it's not going to be in for very long.
Oh, God.
All right. We're going to take a break, and then we're going to come back, and we're going to talk about the NFL in general in a segment that we call the NFL No Huddle. Tomorrow is the first round of the NFL draft, and it's right here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, starting at 7 p.m. Mike Conti, Wes Durham, Dave Archer are going to take you through the first round of the draft live from Mercedes-Benz Stadium. Stay with us all weekend long for pick-by-pick coverage and late-night wrap-up shows, all brought to you by your local Honda dealers and by Window Nation. Buy four windows, get four free. The NFL Draft, starting Thursday on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. We'll be right back.
Today's podcast is sponsored by Midi Health. At any given time, 61% of adult women say they want to lose weight. But for many, that's easier said than done. If you've had trouble losing weight, don't lose hope. Midi Health uses a deep understanding of women's hormones and a combination of weight loss medications to create a customized plan for each user. Midi Health can help you achieve more effective and sustainable weight loss by addressing hormone imbalances. Midi can also prescribe proven weight loss medications that help you experience reduced appetite and increased feelings of fullness. When paired with hormone optimization, you're not just managing your weight, you're also supporting your body's natural processes, which means you can overcome those weight loss plateaus that in the past have been so difficult to move beyond. So if you're ready to combine the power of hormones with the power of weight loss medications, visit joinmidi.com today. Discover how this innovative approach can lead you to lasting success. That's joinmidi.com.
Can't get enough baseball? Start streaming MLB Network today. Get up to 15 out-of-market games a week live on any device, plus 24/7 access to MLB Network's award-winning shows, including live game look-ins and exclusive player interviews. And hear live radio play-by-play from all 30 clubs with MLB at Bat. Enjoy the home of baseball from virtually anywhere. Plans start as low as $5.99 per month. Sign up now at MLBnetwork.com/stream. Available in the U.S. only. Blackout restriction applies. Visit MLB.com/subscribe for full terms and conditions.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy.
This is Today.
And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
When things are tough, we talk about it. When there's something to figure out, we dig into it. And when there's joy, we celebrate it.
Because today is where it's all happening. We get the best start to every morning because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show with Savannah Guthrie and Craig Melvin weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.